welcome to this mini-series, The Luxury Gate, Tips and Insight from Those Who Made It. So this podcast is presented as usual by INSEAD and its Retail Consumer and Luxury Good Club. And today we have Stephanie Le Foll with us. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fine, you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic.
Thanks. Stephanie is an INSEAD MBA alumni. She has more than 20 years of international experience in both luxury and cosmetic. So half of it was at L'Oréal and the other half with Cartier. Stephanie worked on long-term strategy, international business development, brand equity, marketing, and innovation. So quite an extensive CV. She's currently working on building a new project around luxury creation, innovation, and sustainability. So, did I forget anything?
No, it's pretty complete.
Okay, so let's get started with our first question. What we want to know is, how did you start in luxury and why did you stay in luxury?
Before luxury, I think my main driver is beauty. I think beauty is something that has always been very much part of me and my surroundings. And I think I am what you could say probably a beauty enthusiast. And then when I say beauty, it's not the beauty industry per se, it's beauty as a whole. So mm-hmm. Anything that has to do with the arts. So I think luxury is part of this world. And as I was in business, I think it made sense. And yeah. It came to me, actually, so.
Oh, it came to you. How come? What was the story?
The story is for the true luxury, which is Cartier. Just because I received a phone call once and the proposition was interesting because it was on... working on fragrances, and I were in Cartier, which was not the main core activity. It was interesting from a business point of view and from a development point of view.
So you have 10 years with L'Oréal and more than 10 years with L'Oréal and more than 10 years work with Cartier. Why did you decide to stay such a long time in both cosmetic and luxury? What did you like about the industry?
Well, first, I think it's probably my personality. I'm a long-term vision person. I think I'm also quite loyal in a way. So as long, and I had the chance to change a lot and to do many different things. So I think because I had this opportunity, it probably made me stay longer than I could have. And also at the time, maybe we were not jumping as much as we are jumping today from one to the other. You know, I chose L'Oréal. I have a scientific background. So when I decided to go into business, I thought the beauty industry was a good intersection between the science, because it's pretty much science, especially in skincare, and the beauty fashion world. So for me, it was probably a good step, and L'Oréal was very attractive to me because it's French and because it's very much international.
Would you say that L'Oréal was attracted to your profile as well because you came from the world of science and everything?
I'm not sure it's because I came from the world of science, but I had the chance when I was at your seat to organize, because when I entered the INSEAD, I knew I wanted to be in L'Oréal after, and that was my obsession. So I organized the L'Oréal venue. So, you know, one thing after the other, that's how I entered L'Oréal.
I know it was a long time ago, but do you remember the process, the recruitment process with L'Oréal? Was it smooth?
Well, for me, it was very smooth because, I organized it. I had the chance. The beauty division was there. The head of human resources was there. We had good discussions, and I'm not sure I've been hired because I had a scientific background. I think I was, they hired me because probably my profile, which and my interests are pretty large. I was French, but raised partly in Canada, so I had the double exposure, which was interesting for them because I was already international. And because I was determined to work for them, I think, you know, when you want something and you demonstrate a passion and a drive, it's easier.
Yeah. Would you say that's very important for the luxury and cosmetic industry?
Yes, but I think it's important for anything you do. It makes your life easier and more pleasant.
Clearly. So you say that you did many different things at both L'Oréal and Cartier. Is that mm-hmm. something conventional for this industry to be able to jump from one position to another?
I would say L'Oréal definitely. It's not easier, but the way they structure and the way the mindset is, first you have to, you probably know, but a lot of old big boss of L'Oréal were ex-INSEAD, so they already had a mentality of internationality and moving along. That's one thing. Then it's probably also my personality, because I like, my spectrum is very large. I have and I need to have a global view. So it's probably helped me also to jump from one to another. And I had the chance to have a job creation positions also, so it's okay. Helped.
So a lot of students will be interested by both L'Oréal and Cartier brand. I don't want to have this podcast completely focused on these two brands, but would you be kind enough to talk a little bit about this brand and what was your best experience with this brand? What do you remember from this brand, and what did you like and not like from these both brands?
Okay, so just for you, if you're in the luxury, for you to know, for Cartier or Dior or Chanel, what we call the true luxury, we don't say brand, we say maison. It's very important because it gives there's a huge heritage behind. And it differentiates from a brand that usually is more mass.
Yeah.
This is just a small bracket. So to come back to L'Oréal and Cartier, L'Oréal, what I liked about is, again, this, it's international, both are international, but I think one is much more than the other, because L'Oréal has been part of the Americas is really big, and it still is. They've been to Asia, mind you, Cartier too. But for me, it's a different way. Cartier is in the way of processing is still very much French. L'Oréal is French too in the way of working, but I find less. It's hard for me to explain why, but. Probably because there's more international people for me in L'Oréal with more international backgrounds and people who have lived in different countries. Cartier is starting, and I'm talking head office more than subsidiaries, but if I compare the two head office, for me it's very, Cartier remains very much French, even though it's changing. So it's a big part. Both of them are very international from the start because Cartier has been pioneering. They went to the US, Russia, UK very, very early on in the history, but always led by French.
Okay.
Is the answer clear enough?
Yes, the answer is very clear. If you want to develop a little bit more on what, so you say international experience was something really important for you. Is there anything else that you find within this true luxury maison? So I'm referring about Cartier. What was the main out what you remember was the most important for you?
Well, first, it's entering a different world, because even though I was in the luxury division in L'Oréal, it remains more mass. It's more remains a push strategy. When you enter a maison like Cartier, the core of their business, not the core, but the history of their business or the originality of their business is high jewelry. And there it's a totally different world. It's unique pieces. Creativity driven. I'm not saying L'Oréal is not creativity driven, but it's product driven. It's different. When you're, for example, in marketing or product development in L'Oréal, you do market research, you do the basic research. When you're in a maison like Cartier or even Dior, and I'm not talking the beauty side, which is a bit different, but it's driven by creativity and artistic director. And you work with products that, how can I say, you do not produce them the same way. It's not important. It's not as important if you're lacking some products. When you are, and you're probably learning this right now, if you're running out of stock, at some point, well, I'm not talking this particular situation we're living in right now, but if you're out of stock, you're losing money.
Yeah,
it's total different perspective when you work in the luxury, because rarity is an asset.
Yeah.
And so that's the main two differences. Yeah.
You talked about creativity just before. As a business person, what kind of creativity do you need to bring into the maison and the brands to be successful?
I don't know if there's one type of creativity, because creativity is very wide. You can be in finance and being creative. So I think it depends really of your métier. For me, the main thing is to be open, and it's not to follow the regular path. The problem I see today is that everybody, no matter where, and even in Cartier, people are in some sort of mold because of the way we've been educated and so on. And even in SEAD, in certain degrees, I think puts you in some kind of mold. So I think creativity is trying to see different perspective and to be always looking for different ways of doing things.
Would you have
that's
any,
my point of view.
That's very good. Would you have any suggestion to train a little bit this creativity to get into these habits of being more creative and
but I think it's a mindset. To be curious is a mindset. And to always think that you have something to learn from something. It's like a growth mindset. It's always telling you that nothing is definite in the world, especially in the moments we're living right now, where we talk about transformation, but I think it's deeper than that. I think it's probably more metamorphosis. And to adapt, to keep being curious. It's like a kid. A kid is learning very fast because he's curious about everything. And for me, that's the best starting point of being creative.
And how does that relate and link to the fact that we are talking about very traditional maison, we are talking about very traditional organization, and you're telling me you need to be creative, you need to be curious, you need to look at things differently.
That's my point of view.
let's go and let's have your point of view. So how would you conjugate both creativity and tradition?
Well, I think tradition I'm not sure these maisons, Cartier is tradition in some way, but it's very creative also. Especially in haute joaillerie, you have, when I say you have artists almost, that are designing, when so you have people who can design, for example, a necklace, or they would have a stone, and from this stone, how do you create something extraordinary? So there you're more talking about an artist than about somebody reasoning products and things like that. So for me, it's not incompatible. Again, it's just, and also when you go to the Atelier de Haute Joaillerie, you have people who are extremely creative in the way of working the stone, because they work from a 2D design and then they bring, for example, the necklace to life. So it's one way of being creative also in finding different ways of doing things.
Do you have the opportunity to work closely with this person? And if yes, how do that play that out? How do you relate to this person, to this artist?
Which person? The artist?
The artist, artistic director, the relationship between business and art.
But again, for me, I think it's a dialogue and it's an understanding of each other. I was not part of, in Cartier, I was not part of the creation of Haute Joaillerie, but from what I've seen, and I had the chance to go in the atelier, it's a dialogue between, for example, a stone and the designer, an artist that would design the necklace, and then a dialogue between the marketing and this artist, and then a dialogue between all of them and the person who actually makes it. I'm not sure if it's clear what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's a dialogue. It's like it's
a co-construction. You have a vision, but the artist is not working by himself at some point. And we always say that the artist is king, especially at Cartier, because it's very vision. But at the same time, it's still a company. So you need, I'm not talking about Haute Joaillerie. Haute Joaillerie is something different, because most of it could be special orders, or it could be a collection. It's one piece. And then you have like VVIP who will see the pieces and then decide if they like it or not and purchase it. But then there's another part of the business where you have the watches, and when you have I would say the regular jewelry or the engagement rings, there it's a total dialogue, because you have a marketing side where you need to sell the product and offer the right products to your clients.
You've been talking quite a few times about vision, and you say that you were a long-term vision person. I'd like to know a little bit about your vision for the future of the industry and for yourself as well, for your career. I know you have a new project right now, so if you don't mind talking about it a little bit.
Well, I will give you the vision first of the industry. I think we're at a turning point, like most industries. For me, the luxury industry today has lost some things, because even though it's very nice products and so on, I think the soul is not always there, because at some point, and the industry has to sell products for sure. But in my opinion, it's the way of doing it is too close. It's not close, but it's too close to more mass, which is to me a problem. Okay. I think luxury is about creativity first and foremost. It's about innovation, which there still is, but then there's a way it's probably more into the communication side and even into the production. We lost some unbelievable savoir-faire because we took it somewhere else. Or it's because, we need to produce more. At some point, luxury takes time and quality takes time. And rarity is important. And I'm not saying not everything is being done, but not to the extent to which it could be. So I think it needs to reinvent itself. For example, if I look at what's going on in fashion, which is different, but you know, France and luxury houses are very much into fashion. Today, it's still producing a lot. It's still thinking the same way that it has been fought for. And I'm exaggerating a bit, but it's to make the point. I think we need to. They need to go further into their reflection and their thinking process. When you look at, for example, advertising, it's mass advertising for me. Should they continue in this direction? It's one question. I don't have the answer for them, but for me, it's a true trend. How do you engage with the client? Is it through the tech like any other? And I know it's being done differently, but is it the right way? It's a question. And what's the balance?
So I understand this is mostly related about luxury needing to reinvent itself, but is it related as well to sustainability and to this new world that we are experiencing as well with the COVID? But it was already there before. We knew that we needed to be more sustainable. And do you think that luxury, they are embracing this sustainability, but do you think that's enough? Do you think that it's part of the vision as well for the future?
Well, of course they are. Nobody has the choice to do it, then it's how you do it. I think it's much more difficult. And there's been, they've been working, if I take LVMH or Chanel or even all the Kering Group, they've been involved in this for a very long time. Now the processes are very complicated. It's going into every single detail of a supply chain. Again, if you take fashion, it's going from the threads to the buttons to the fabrics. There's so many actors involved before you have the complete chain clean. And I don't know if we will ever succeed, but it's much more complicated than when you start. So yes, the aim is definitely there. Then it's how you do it. Yeah. And how fast you can do it. And when you're global, it's more complicated. Because you have all the traveling and so on, then there's where you produce and how much you produce. It's complicated, really.
Last year, the INSEAD RCLG Club had the Luxury Forum with sustainability as the main topic. This year, I know we already have some event about sustainability and luxury, especially with startups. Would you have any recommendation for us as being the next business people in this industry? What would you recommend us to look after, to be very careful and to focus on to make sure that we will both A, succeed in our career and B, make the industry, I'm going to say something very cheesy, a better place?
Well, the industry, a better place, it depends what you put behind sustainability. For me, the better place is beyond just the planet. It's human. And so for me, the first thing we should look at, not the first, but human is very important, and the human savoir-faire and the uniqueness of humanity is important to me. And I think it's very much overlooked in most of the big enterprises. Everybody is trying to do something, but at the end, we're still applying the same old models. So my recommendation is, yes, how do you put some humanity into the big enterprises? And the big humanity goes with responsibility. How do you give the true responsibility to each actor, and how do they work all together? From having living it in some enterprises, it's not to copy the model of a startup. It doesn't work for me in a big enterprise. you know, to say we do open space and so on. It's not that. It's how you collaborate, how you are truly open to novelties. It's going back to dialogue you have between different actors and true openness. And today, when you're in a big corporation, whether they want it or not, it's so big. So when it's big, you need to have processes. And today, the processes are what's killing, for me, the creativity and the flexibility. And I don't have the answer, because when you're really big, you need to have it. So how, maybe it's to have a lot of small business units within big companies, I don't know, could be a way.
It's a complex harmony to solve. Is it something you're trying to do with Lab Society right now?
By Lab Society, the chance is that it's starting from scratch. So and to be honest, when I left, I wanted to be in the tech, which I'm not at all anymore. I did not want to be in the tech, but tech was very much part of it. Today, it's secondary. For me, at the center, again, I put humans. And as I said at the beginning, I'm driven by beauty. So for me, it's to bring beauty and sustainability together to bring change. And it's a big thing what I'm saying, but I think there are two powerful drivers. And I think beauty is a really big driver of change. And for me, I would like to have, because it's a retail business, so it's complicated right now, but I still think it's the right direction, and it's not necessarily online, because again, if you're human, I think we need the human touch. It's just to give a different perspective on how we can consume, and I think we can continue. I do not believe that tomorrow we will start consuming. I think it's the wrong approach. I do not believe in black or white. I believe in balance. And I think today we have, as business, we have a duty to participate to the transformation of the world. And you were saying a better world. Well, the better world is part of business also. So how do you bring consumer or clients, because I don't like the term consumer because it's consuming. Mm. I prefer being engaged in a cause, and a better world is a cause in itself.
I think it's a very nice way to conclude. We've been together for 25 minutes now, and we'll come to the last question. The last question is always the usual question. So this is a podcast made for INSEAD primarily an INSEAD mm-hmm. student. Do you have one last final word recommendation for INSEAD student that will listen to you?
Again, I think it's a huge opportunity. It's the huge opportunity is in front of you, because I don't think we will have another occasion for a long time in the human history. So have a mission to act for the better. And the better is not, it's the environment, of course, but it's also the human side. And it's, and this is very personal, use the technology as an instrument, not as as an infinite.
Stephanie, thank you very much for spending this time with us. I hope you had a good time as well.
Yes.
It was exercise. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I hope it was clear.
It was very clear. Thank you again. Okay. INSEAD people, guys, thank you for listening to this recording, this podcast. The next interview will come within a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for the next interview. It's still going to be the same series. Stephanie, thank you very much again.
See you all. Good luck for the end of the term.
Thank you very much.